So let's have a word of prayer and we will get started. Lord, would you bless our time today? I pray that you'll give us the lessons that we need from your word. Thank you for these different ladies that we're looking at, their lives of faith. And I pray that you will bless in a special way as we look at the life of Deborah here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, turn with me to Judges chapter 4. Judges chapter 4, we will just look here and there at the life here of Deborah, so you can have the scripture in front of you as I refer to her life. The time of the judges is a very dark chapter in the history of Israel. In fact, it's always a difficult book for me to read. Certainly, Kings and Chronicles are difficult also because you just see the continual problem that mankind has. And remember, one of the ways that you can really gain much from the Old Testament is to realize that how God dealt with Israel as a whole is how he deals with us. And the problems that Israel faced are often mirrored in God's people. And so it's very, very helpful when you keep that in mind. Now, thinking about this, this should have been a glorious time. Because God said, I will be your God, I'm your king, you will win every war, you will be healthy, I will bless you, you will always have bountiful crops, you will always have my presence with you if you just simply serve me. See, they didn't need a king because God was their king. And if you study the time of Samuel when the people were asking for a king, the Lord Jesus there said, they have not rejected you, Samuel, they have rejected me. In other words, they wanted their own way. And of course, human kings at times were blessings, but they also brought great problems to the nation of Israel. And so they judges were placed into the nation of Israel to help guide, under the leadership of the Lord, the people. And they could have had tremendous, tremendous blessing. But the generation that outlived the ones that had fought in the war under Joshua began to adopt the ways of the world there in Canaan. And God would have to raise up judges to see deliverance. Now, it's exciting. You read of some of the great battles that were won. Othniel to start off with, and then you have a number of others. And God did deliver, but what's so tragic is, if you'll look at the number of years preceding the deliverance, we're talking decades of years, of months, decades of time in which Israel did not have victory. They were under oppression, and they had famine. They had all kinds of problems because God had to deal with them and get them to be desperate again. And so if you, I don't have the figure in front of me, but if you take all the years of the 250 years, let's say, of the judges, there's only a small amount of years in which they had blessing. And they could have had blessing all of those years. Now, again, to try to keep in mind from a historical standpoint, the perspective here, the time of the judges is about the time that we've been a nation. So that's how long the judges period was. And it may have been longer than that. There's different ways that it's calculated, up to 300 and so forth. But so I mention that because it's in the midst of this that Deborah comes on the scene. And you may ask, why did Deborah have to be the one to speak for the Lord at this time? Because there wasn't a man that believed God. And that's a sad thing. But thank God there was a woman. And let me just say that obviously there is a proper order according to Scripture and how the work of the Lord should be done. But God wants women to have a very major role in speaking for the Lord, being examples, having the power of God upon them, so that they can be an influence in their homes and in their churches. And so we're going to see some very interesting things. If we just want to look at the context here, if you'll turn to chapter 4, verse 1, and the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. That was the last judge. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor. And that was on the north end of north of the Sea of Galilee, a very powerful city, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron. He had almost 1,000 tanks, okay? And 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time, and she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. A remarkable woman in a very dark day, in a time of acute oppression. And again, let me mention that Jabin there of Hazor, that was a powerful, powerful fortress city. And he was causing great harm to the nation of Israel. And in the midst of this, she is able to be used of God to be a blessing. She had quite a calling. And God realized she was the one person that had discernment. Isn't it interesting how when people know that someone's walking with God, if they have any kind of heart, they want to be around them? You know, it's a great challenge for all of us to be that kind of person. You know, every one of us can speak for the Lord. Here in this New Testament age, we are all called to serve the Lord by discipling and counseling and helping people. And so she was remarkably used of God that way. But it's interesting, there in verse 4, she is identified as the wife of Lapidoth. So she was clearly a functioning wife in her proper order. And despite all the things that she had to do, she was taking time to be the wife that I'm sure God wanted her to be. She couldn't have had blessing in what she was doing if she was not having blessing within the home. For men and women, when we're dysfunctional at home, we're dysfunctional in our ministry. When we're following God's order at home, then we are able to see God's blessing in the ministry. And this is why you'll see at times different leaders collapse a little bit. It's because they are failing at home, and then that's going to, of course, cause their ability to have standing in their ministry to collapse. And so she was a remarkable wife. Now, she was a remarkable leader. We mentioned there in verse 5 that she dwelt under the palm tree. And there was a place that she was able to communicate. And when God gave her the clear instructions that it was time, because of the people calling out to him for deliverance, it was time to deliver the people of Israel, she got the plan, and she was the one that gave it to the commander of the Israeli forces. And so she was clearly spiritually. By the way, leadership is not position. Leadership is not some kind of quality, so it's good to learn leadership qualities. Leadership is when you have the life and the truth and the influence. Leadership is really influence. She had great influence because they knew she walked with God. They knew she heard from God. She was courageous in speaking for God, and she was willing to take steps to see whatever God had said to be accomplished. And so everyone can be and ought to be an influence. She had great faith. Now, for her to think that this group of people called Israel that were scattered all over and in fear of Jabin and fear of this massive army, for her to think that the army could be overcome and that God could give a victory shows she had absolute confidence that whatever God said is true. And frankly, that's where leadership comes from, believing God. It truly is what God has said. You believe it. You are acting upon it. And that will give you leadership in your home in the sense of spiritual influence. It will give you leadership with other ladies. It will be a great influence for any of the people of God. And so her faith in what God said was that which allowed Israel to get freed from the awful bondage that they were in. And then she was a remarkable poet that we'll look at, because chapter 5 gives us her spirit-inspired poetry. And so let me say right here, ladies, she was known as the wife of. Okay, that's who she was. But she had a heart for God like no one else in Israel, and God let her be an influence. And so it's amazing what women can do for the cause of Christ and still be in full order in their home, in what they do, if they are really biblical. And so it's, all of every lady, as I've been preaching on Sunday morning, every lady here is gifted. You have the Spirit of God indwelling you. God has a purpose for you. God wants to do some very special things through your life. And so we're going to start with the matter of the fact she was a wife. And so I believe that God mightily used Deborah because she was a godly woman in her home. She was a woman who trusted God in following her husband. And that takes faith right there to be the right kind of a wife. And she clearly was seeing God work in her home, and that's what gave her a real walk with the Lord. And so in all of this, she clearly was following her husband. We don't know anything about him except that it's named. That's how she's described. And if she wasn't following her husband, I can tell you right now, she wouldn't be listening to God. The very fact she had that keen discernment of what God wanted and what God was doing and that she had faith tells you strongly, though it's not said, that she was in the right position with her husband and would have had the right kind of respect. Let me just say, if she didn't have the right kind of respect for her husband, when Barak came and the general of the army talked with her, he would not have liked it if she didn't have the right kind of spirit. Ever notice that men don't like that? You know, it's just built in. Men just are, well, whatever, you know, just they react to a pushy spirit from the feminine side, okay? But she clearly had force, she had influence, she knew the mind of God, but she was a very respectful woman. And but in the whole discourse with Barak, she made it pretty clear, if I have to go with you, then you're not going to get the honor for this. The honor is going to go to a woman, which of course was a big deal in those days. And so and let me just say this, a woman who has the right spirit, who follows the Lord in the right order in their home and in other situations, have the privilege of speaking things that need to be spoken, because the men listening know that there's a submissive and a right attitude on the part of that woman. I tell this to young ladies all the time or in marriage seminars. If your husband knows that you will ultimately follow him and you're not going to push him and not have a wrong spirit, you can then be quite a counselor and be very open with your husband because he's got confidence that you are going to follow his leadership. That is one of the keys to good communication in the home. I like ladies to be very strong. They see things about children that men don't see. They have discernment about situations that oftentimes men don't have. Husbands desperately need their wives' strong opinion. But if there's a pushiness and a demanding to where that has to be done or the wife is going to take it out on the husband, the husband's going to shut down that kind of communication. But if the wife has a submissive attitude, proper order in her heart, and is willing to do what, you know, trust the Lord through her husband, and he knows that she's going to do that, then he wants to hear her counsel. You don't mind her being strong. I've needed every bit of my wife's counsel. And I know there are times in which decisions I've made weren't the best decision, but you wouldn't know it because once I've made a decision, my wife is now part of that decision. I've appreciated that over the years. She's not in here, I can say this now. but she really has been good at that. And she's fully supportive. And I appreciate that. And so that helps me listen to her strong counsel, which I desperately need. And also very important to love your husbands. Another thing there in this study, a remarkable witness. She was very different than her culture. Her culture was dark. It was pagan. Israel had compromised. The people were worshiping the gods of the Canaanites. It was so bad that God for 20 years let them be under the iron fist of Jabin and Hazor and Sisera. And it was a miserable time. It was that bad. But Deborah was a Bible-based woman. She was a woman that was unashamed of being biblical. Now let me just shoot straight with you. One thing that we desperately need in our day in which women, femininity, everything about a woman's role have been attacked, we need Deborahs today. Women that stand out in a dark day in which they are willing to be biblical even though it is not culturally acceptable. The peer pressure that women feel is amazing. You know, we see it with men, but I find that for a lot of times women as adults oftentimes are far more under peer pressure with the group of whoever they're with. And want to please from fashion to roles, things that are just things that are part of life, how you handle a family. And it's amazing how humanistic thinking can creep in because we don't want to be different. Now, you don't want to be different for difference sake. We don't need odd Christians, okay? But we really need to have courageous women. Growing up, I'm just thankful that I have been around with my grandmother, my mother, my wife, many other godly women, women that just weren't going to go with the culture. They were just going to do what God said to do. And that has a great impact upon the church, has a great impact on a witness in even reaching lost people. You say, well, how can I reach lost people if I'm different than them? Well, you're giving a message that is different than normal thinking. Doesn't it follow that the people that know you're a believer expect you to be a little bit different than them? I have that said to me all the time. Well, how refreshing to come to a church that's really Christian. That's a very interesting thing. That act like Christians. And so it is, I think, very important to understand. And that's why Deborah was used of God. She was believing in Jehovah. She was living it out. She was not pagan at all in her thinking. And so she was quite a witness. And she was a witness of faith in a time in which everyone was defeated. They had just given up. What's the use? You know, I mean, this is bad. And so she had the witness of what the Bible said. They had the Pentateuch. And they had much scripture when you think about the Pentateuch, especially Deuteronomy. The Lord quoted more from that than he did any other Old Testament book. So they had quite a bit to go on. Plus, she communed with the Lord. And the Lord gave her discernment according to the Word of God and gave her direction because she had a heart that was willing to listen to it. And so she was able to be a witness of, thus saith the Lord, and this is what the Lord will do. Now, let me say, was it biblical for her to believe that Jabin could be defeated? Yeah, you could get that right out of the text. The nation of Israel was to win every war. So based upon her understanding of the word, in her prayers, God confirmed, yes, you can do it. That is what I promised. But the people have got to rise up and look to me to do that. And so she was used of the Lord to be a witness of the fact that God's word is true and that God will win the victory. Now, let me just say this. God wouldn't have used her, but if she was very Canaanite, worldly in her every way about her, do you think people would have listened to her? No. They knew she was a woman of God. They knew she prayed. They knew that she understood the word of God. And so when she spoke, they listened. She had wisdom. I've already been alluding to that. Deborah didn't seek to be a judge. In fact, I would not doubt when we get to talk to her, she said, I wish, where was a man? You know, but she was not self-appointed. And God raised up judges, as Judges 2:16 says. She didn't try to seek to lead. When it came to assemble the troops, did she assemble the troops? No. She sent for Barak, verse 6, and she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, and she says, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali, and of the children of Zebulun, and I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon, Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitudes, and I will deliver him into thine hand. And so she looked for the leader, and so she didn't try to lead the people herself. And then when Barak wasn't willing to be the man that was to call the people and to believe God and to lead as a man should, the man who is in charge of the army, he was obviously a man that had a heart for God. She says, you're not going to get any honor for this because it's clearly a lack of faith. People are going to see me as the one, since you want me with you, and they're going to see you following me rather than them following you. And of course, it wasn't Deborah that got the honor. It was Jael, who was the one that killed Sisera, but she warned him about that. So she went up, supported him, and she was a patriot. She put her life on the line. It doesn't mean that she went to the front lines, but you know, she put her life in danger. You know, you would not want to be around an ancient battlefield. It's ugly, but she was there. That's sad that she had to be there. But she was, and God worked. And by the way, she obeyed Barak. Barak said, I need you to come with me. Now, she warned him that wasn't the best thing, but I'll go. And she did it. So you, do you see the wonderful balance? She had great influence, leadership, but she wasn't trying to be the leader. She realized she was there really in many ways by default. She was willing to be a voice for God, but she was a wife and she was a follower, and just a remarkable testimony that she had. And so she definitely, though, was a woman with conviction. She was a woman that was determined. I'm telling you, it's the women in churches and in a culture that walk with God, that are courageous, that live for God, that lead their children to love God and stand for God, who support their husbands to walk with God, who are willing to speak truth in love, that change a culture. The power of godly women is amazing. And again, my whole family was shaped by my grandmother being a godly warrior for Christ. My grandfather wasn't saved till he was 35. He was a stubborn Dutchman. And he was a Christian reform. You know anything about that, Mrs. Sikma? And got saved like the Sikmas did, and understood the grace of God. But he never really got strong. He got stronger because of my grandmother. But my grandmother was strong. So they were members of the First Baptist Church in Miami. And C. Roy Angel was the pastor. And he started preaching things that she knew wasn't right. And she went in to see him, and he had said some things about the virgin birth of Christ that bothered her. And she respectfully talked to him, and he said, "Oh, Oma," he said, "don't you know that Christ was the child of a German soldier and Mary?" And if you can imagine, and I don't know why he picked German, but but anyway, that, my grandmother kindly said, "Thank you for being honest. This is our last time in this church." My grandmother believed in the fundamental truths of the Word of God, period, case closed. And she continued, and she directed my father to go to a strong college, not one of the denominational colleges of that time. And that changed the course of all of our lives, the faith of a woman who was courageous. Now, obviously, you've got to have the right kind of spirit, but ladies, believe God. When the women in a culture get weak, that culture is doomed. It's doomed. Now, yes, men need to be the leaders, but there is something special in the heart of women to know the truth, to be sensitive, to have a heart for God. God puts a protection in you. And that's why you have such an attack today, femininity, and just the whole, every issue you can think of, hammers on ladies today to try to destroy that deep conviction and courage in their hearts. Frankly, every woman ought to be a Deborah. And then she was a remarkable writer. And you know, it's wonderful to write things down. You have in chapter 5, the Song of Deborah and Barak. This was pretty clearly the Song of Deborah. And so I won't read it, but a great praise to the Lord. And was able to express herself, and we have that wonderful chapter that's a blessing to us today. So, very interesting. Honestly, I could go on and on about this woman, because there are very major lessons to be learned. And are we in a dark day today? Has that darkness pervaded the churches of our day? Yes, it has. And I really want to encourage you to be, just say, "Lord, I'm going to be a woman of God." That means I've got to be right in my relationships, got to be right in my spirit, but I've got to not compromise in what the Bible says. And I need to be a testimony and a witness of what the Bible says. And I need to show it through my life. I need to show it in what I believe. I need to show it in what I say. And I tell you what, if you have a humble spirit before God, you can have a powerful influence that can be a genuine game changer for the cause of Christ.